Welcome to Tech Tuesday on All Sides with Ann Fisher. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again, no doubt. But social media will play a role in this election like never before. Facebook, Twitter, and others are all working on a piece of the pie, changing how voters get information and what they do with it. The Sony Xbox Live Election 2012 Hub allows users to watch raw debate feed and weigh in on the action in real time. Joining us now to talk about Xbox Live Election is Ryan Luckin. He's Senior Public Relations Manager for Xbox. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
All right, so I kind of pitched this at the top of the hour, like this is the ultimate game. So it's not as if it's not about gaming, but tell us how it does work and how it works with the Xbox format.
Absolutely. I think most people think of Xbox about as a gaming platform, like you said. But in the past few years, you know, we've really expanded it to make more about an entertainment platform. So everything from movies to TV shows, or in this case, the elections. And, you know, what we really wanted to do is kind of take the elections and make them interactive for our users, which is something our platform is really good at. So we're basically going to broadcast for the first time on live television the presidential debates and in an interactive format. And by that I mean any of our users, we have 40 million Xbox Live Gold users worldwide, any of those users in the U.S. can watch any of the live presidential debates and the vice presidential debates, and from their couch with their controller or through Kinect, they can simply interact with the debates by answering the questions that we're going to put to them. So as the moderator is up there talking to Romney and talking to Obama and getting questions, we're going to talk to our audience and ask them, you know, how did you feel about that answer? Did you agree or disagree with what they said? And really get them engaged and make them feel like they're part of the process.
How will you do that without distracting them from listening to the debate?
It's hard to do over radio, but I want to say it's a very unintrusive way to do it. You see these questions kind of come along the bottom of your screen, not unlike what you would see kind of like a ticker on the bottom of a news screen. So they come on for a split second. You can choose to engage and answer, or you can just sit back and be passive and kind of take in the debates as you normally would on your cable TV.
And conversely, will people who are engaging in this be able to see how people are responding to the questions?
Instantly, in real time, we'll present you, let's say, with a multiple choice with, you know, three answers. Whichever you choose, we're going to give you real-time results, the percentages of how the entire user base is answering, and then we'll update those. So if you pick something and your answer A was, you know, 20%, that may go up or down in the remaining seconds as we're showing that answer. So you really get a feeling of how am I answering versus the rest of the audience and kind of where are things trending.
My guest is Ryan Luckin. He's Senior PR Manager for Xbox. The Sony Xbox Live Election 2012 Hub will allow users to watch raw debate feed and weigh in on the action in real time. If you have a question or comment for Ryan, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can tweet us at WOSU All Sides, and you can also go to our Facebook page if you want. Is this something to our listeners? Is this something that you might use? Give us a call and tell us why. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Okay, so how many in the U.S. could participate in this? You mentioned how many you have worldwide, but how many are in the U.S.?
You know, we don't break down our user base by countries, but it's in the millions, I can tell you that much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing we're doing right now is if you go on Xbox Live, there's an existing hub there that's up for people to engage with. We have content from NBC. We have content from Face the Facts. And one of the things you can do on a daily basis is participate in a daily poll. So what this does is let people go back day in, day out. We're programming questions for them to kind of give feedback on. Maybe today it's going to be on foreign policy. Tomorrow might be on, you know, financial issues and the debt. And similar to what you'll see on the live presidential debates, you're going to get feedback on how you're answering versus the rest of the community. That polling data, we're working with a company called YouGov, who's one of the most well-known and respected polling agencies out there. They're taking that data, they're crunching the numbers, and we're getting some really interesting polling data out of that that show how people, whether they're undecided or decided, how they stand on certain issues.
So who's your target audience? Am I going to be like, you know, duking it out with my 16-year-old, or who gets to use the Xbox during the debates this week? Or are you targeting the 16-year-olds?
We're definitely targeting those that are, you know, 18 and older, those who are of voting age. But what's interesting is what it can do to a family environment and really driving dialogue. Hmm. It's fun to kind of get people not only passively watching but engage, and it does drive a lot of dialogue. I know in my household, it has my wife and I thinking about, hey, there's this question. How am I going to respond to this? What's your take on it? And you actually get really interested about trying to wait for the next one. What's the next question going to be? We did run this interactive layer during the RNC and the DNC earlier. Those were obviously a little bit less contentious because we kind of knew how people were going to react to certain questions, given that they were partisan events. But it was really interesting. You get really excited for the next question so that you could, you know, get your brain thinking and say, you know, where do I stand on a certain issue?
Talking about the conventions, did one convention attract more participants than another, or were they pretty much equal?
They're pretty much equal. We've seen really great interest in this. We've seen, you know, tens of thousands of users coming in to watch both the live events and interact on a daily basis with the polls and watching some of the video content that we have available.
Evan in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Evan.
Hello. My question today is just, I was wondering if you were going to break down your users into possibly parties, so Republican, Democrat, Independent, just so we could see how we compare to those individuals, particularly because the younger users of the Xbox might be slightly skewed to the Democratic side.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. Couple points. We worked with a third party group to kind of pull our user base as we first launched this project, and we came up with some really interesting, you know, data points. We do skew a little bit male. We're about 2/3 male, 1/3 female. But what we found was of our Xbox Live users, 80% of them are over 25 years old. So I think people have grown up with Xbox. Mm-hmm. We still have a really strong contingent of that young, you know, 18 to 25, which is, you know, one of the harder ones to nail down for pollsters out there. But we do have a older contingent of users out there. And really what we're doing is we're working with YouGov to take the results that we get, and they do through a process called reweighting. They take this rather large sample size and draw some conclusions on what that might mean for the voting public. It's something we definitely wanted to have you guys involved. They're the experts in this field, and we'll see the results. We plan to issue the results from the polls and from the interactive layer 24 to 48 hours. We're going to put that out through the media and on xbox.com/elections2012. You can see all the answers that we put out there.
And we'll post that stuff on our website, too, at wosu.org/all sides. But how – it's obviously not a scientific poll because it's self-reporting. People are choosing to participate. It's not random. But on top of what Evan asked, I wondered, are you going to – how will you get the demographics to know what the 18 to 25-year-olds think versus the 40 to 50 – you know, are they going to have to – sign in at the outset and fill out some, you know, questionnaire?
Sure. There's a standard 3 to 4 questions we ask the first time you sign in. That identifies you through your gamer tag, which I'll come back to in a second. Mm-hmm. Those 3 to 4 questions basically say, are you registered to vote? How did you vote in the 2008 election? What state are you from? Just to identify in general, you know, who you are. And that way, like you said, the next question that you answer, whether it's on foreign policy or something else, we kind of know where you stood beforehand. Were you decided? Were you undecided? The data itself, while we can identify you by your gamer tag that says who you are in the system, when we take that data and we provide it to YouGov, we disassociate all that from the gamer tag. So your name, your identity doesn't go with the question. Mm-hmm. And doesn't go with the answers, if that makes sense.
Okay, can more than one person play at a time?
Right now, it's one at a time. It's definitely one of the unfortunate limitations. But hopefully, in the future, we can do something where we can allow multiple people in a family to participate.
So what kind of participation how are you getting the word out about this? Are you doing it through your daily surveys that you're doing?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. I mean, obviously, you know, great, you know, shows like this and the opportunity to come and spread the word. We have a really active user base, and when you first turn on your Xbox, there's a front page carousel that kind of shows you the latest and greatest games that are out there, you know, the hot movies, and, you know, the Elections Hub and the opportunity to participate is front and center right now. And will be throughout the presidential election. So we're getting a lot of engagement, and it's pretty easy to find right now once you turn on that Xbox.
Who do you consider your biggest competitor in this role?
I don't know that there is a competitor. There isn't any, I'll say, money making objective with this. This is really about, you know, how can we engage the user base and how can we kind of use this as a proof point for two-way TV. We really see this as cutting-edge technology, as kind of the future of how we can do two-way TV. And we imagine scenarios where, you know, the next time you're watching American Idol and you want to vote instantly for, you know, whether you like that song that he or she was singing, you should be able to do that right away through your Xbox, press a button and say, no way, I didn't like that performance. And that's the type of thing we're looking to do here. So this is really a proving ground for us, and we're just excited to be involved.
We have a tweet from Marie. She says, I love this idea. Maybe I can get my 16-year-old son to care about the debate with this. I'm with you on that, Marie. Yep. Thanks a lot for that tweet. And Ryan Luckin, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me. I do appreciate it, and hope you guys can tune in.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Okay, awesome.
Ryan Luckin, he's Senior PR Manager for Xbox. We were just talking about the Xbox Live Election 2012. So if you want to learn more about that, we'll have a link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. Coming up, we're going to be moving on, talking about the new website. It's out there. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Because I Said I Would. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Support 89.7 NPR News right now and register to win an iPad. Our fall membership drive begins soon, and by making your pledge before the start of the drive, you'll be automatically entered to win an iPad. Visit WOSU.org now, make your pledge, and get registered. No pledge is necessary, but your support will continue to pay for the programs you enjoy. Entries are only accepted at WOSU.org, and the deadline is October 11th. Thank you for supporting 89.7 NPR News. 66 degrees, warming up to 76 today, with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Support for 89.7 comes from the Physicians Free Clinic and Voluntary Care Network, providing charity medical care for Central Ohio's uninsured patients. More about joining the Columbus Medical Association Foundation in supporting the clinic is at goodhealthcolumbus.org. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
During the political season, this political season, it is a notion worth pausing for. The idea of a promise kept. Wei Min Qin, known as Al, never wrote a book or never met a president or won a marathon in most regards, said his son Alex at his father's funeral last month. He was as ordinary as they come, but the Columbus area man kept his word, and that's powerful. So powerful that after Alex started a website in his honor called Because I Said I Would, the idea went viral literally overnight with thousands of views by the time Alex awoke the next morning, and within 7 days, 27,000 views. Alex Sheen is with us by phone to talk about the idea and the response he has received from around the world. Thanks to the internet. Welcome, Alex Sheen.
Hi, Ann. Thank you so much for having me.
A question for our listeners first. Listeners, have you heard of Because I Said I Would? Have you kept a promise? because of it. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. I know there's people out there tweeting about it. You can tweet us about it at WOSU All Sides. And you can also post on our Facebook page your question or comment for my guest, Alex Sheen. So, Alex, when did it occur to you to develop the idea of Because I Said I Would?
Sure. I was actually talking to my stepmom about, you know, his death as it came around, and she asked me if I would, you know, like to give a eulogy. And as I was thinking about how I might remember my father, you know, I tried to just reflect on his life. My father died of small cell lung cancer on September 4th. You know, I was talking to some of my friends about what I might say at his eulogy, but the conversations kept centering around the way he died, you know, that he had cancer, or, you know, he smoked for a number of years. He quit 3 years before he was diagnosed, but I don't want to remember my father for how he died. I want to remember him for how he lived and who he was as a person. And so it kept coming back to the way he raised me and the way he conducted his own life and the way he treated his word and his promises. You know, if Dad said he was going to do something, it was most certainly done. And he taught me that, and I want to live in his likeness through the way that he lived. And that's how I came about this concept of Because I Said I Would. I really want to help folks, you know, remember the promises they've made, not only to others, but to themselves. You know, it could be little things that you've been putting off or big life goals. I want it to be a source of motivation.
You posted you created the website, right?
Correct.
And then you went to sleep.
Well, the way that it really, really started is that I posted essentially the message that I'm trying to deliver to a website called reddit.com. It's just it's a website of user-generated content. And then when I went to sleep, I woke up the next day, and this message had received, you know, thousands and thousands, I think 7,000 overnight. And I was just really surprised to see how many people responded to the message. It was something I just wanted to get off my chest, but it seemed to be going somewhere. And from there, I had got so much traction and feedback through the Facebook site that I almost immediately created becauseisaidiwould.com as, you know, as a medium for folks to, you know, share their promises, for me to share some of my stories through that.
614-292-8513 is the number to call if you'd like to speak with Alex Sheen. I believe the story was it was published by the Cleveland Plain Dealer, but they published it in the Columbus Dispatch yesterday. That's the guy we're talking to, Alex Sheen, creator of the website Because I Said I Would. You can give us a call, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there, or tweet us at WOSU All Sides. When you first went on Reddit and posted created the website there, did it include your eulogy? Because that's on the website now.
You know, it did not. A family friend recorded the eulogy and the message I gave, and then provided me that video, and then I posted that. And as I was thinking about the message I would deliver at his funeral, I wanted to come up with some kind of mechanism to help people with their promises. And I created these really simple cards. I just call them promise cards. They say, Because I Said I Would, and no other text on them. They're pretty easy to use, and I've been sending them out to anyone who will request them through our Facebook group or through the website. What you do is you write a promise on the card, and you give the card to a person you're making that promise, that commitment to. You tell that person, I'm going to fulfill my promise, and when I do, I get my card back. That card belongs to me. And you go, you fulfill your promise, and when you do, you get your card back, and you keep that as a reminder that you're a person of your word. You know, again, these could be for little things you've been putting off, or, you know, those bigger goals that you just need some motivation for, but I'm hoping that this can be a way to help people remember their promises and stay motivated towards them.
I know you're not a social scientist or a psychologist or anything. You're a software designer, I think, right?
I actually work at Highland Software in Westlake. I am the innovation manager.
What is your sense about why this has caught on the way it has?
Sure. I think that one reason why I think the idea has worked well is that it's simple. I think everyone has promises. The way that this card works is very straightforward. But more than that, deeper than that, I think that a promise, a commitment to yourself or another person is very elemental to humanity. I think most people can connect with this. I've been getting responses on the Facebook page, emails to me personally about promises that people have been making, and I was really, really shocked to hear all the great feedback they've had and some really emotional responses that I've been getting. And I think it goes back to the fact that everyone can connect with this type of thing.
Tricia in Columbus, you're on the air with Alex Sheen. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tricia.
Oh, hi. This is Tricia. I didn't hear you say my name. I just wanted to tell Al that I could really relate to his comment on remembering his father for how he lived rather than how he died. I had a similar situation. My dad died while traveling, and every time I drive by the place where he died, I feel bad about it, but I much prefer to remember him as he lived, like mowing the grass and, helping us when we had questions. He looked things up in the dictionary, and that's how I like to remember my dad. And I also wanted to say I'm keeping a promise today. I'm driving up to Cleveland to visit my niece because I missed her birthday last week.
That's great.
Great job, Tricia. Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
But if you're driving, please pull over if you want to give us a call. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you think this would have worked the same way without social media? Because that's why we're talking about it on Tech Tuesday. It's the social media component that's interesting, although it's a lovely story.
No, I think it's important to note that. I obviously work for a technology company, and it was something top of mind for me on how to share this. Obviously, I'm very committed to the emotion of the message, but I wanted to find a medium that could help it spread. And I think social media has really been the reason why this has been able to spread around. And using Reddit.com and using Facebook, using my own website, Twitter, things of that nature is really helping the message spread. Because sure, my father passed away, and that's a tragedy for me and my family. But by using social media, others can share their stories. And I'd like to just read a quick few sentences.
Yes, I want to hear from some of them.
From a lady named Ginger Palmer. I don't know her, but she posted the following to becauseisaidiwould.com. Our daughter was killed by a trucker 2 years ago. I promised I would finish college and wear her graduation robe to my graduation. This year I started back to college. I'm almost 80 years old. I hope I can keep my promise. Great website. Thank you. And, it's things like that that I would see in my inbox or see on a site, and, I'm just taken back in a very positive way that others can use this to, better understand their emotions, their promises, their commitments, and share them with the world in a positive way that moves others to action.
Tell us some other stories that you've heard or you've read on the website or on Twitter.
Sure. There was a gentleman named Scott McVicker who posted a few times to the site, to the Facebook page particularly. I mentioned him in the eulogy that's featured on the website. He was one of the reasons why I thought maybe this could go somewhere. He posted that he was going to quit smoking. He said he's a on-off smoker, that, it wasn't a big habit, but he thought that it was really just an excuse that he made to himself. And, I read that post and another one he made, and then 2 weeks later, he just posted something to the Facebook group. It says, over 2 weeks of not smoking, I'd like to say I did it from sheer willpower and commitment to myself, but honestly, putting my promise out here for everyone to see has been an added push that I needed. Thank you. And, I think that's another way to look at Because I Said I Would, holding yourself accountable, really understanding what's important in life and putting out there for others to help you.
It's interesting how, particularly on Facebook, the trend is so positive and upbeat. It's a real positive place. And when someone says something really mean and nasty, usually they get pounced on pretty quickly. Is that your estimation of it, too?
Yeah, I think social media is a wild animal, and I was actually very interested to see how this would go through a variety of social media avenues. But it's been very, very positive, and it's good to see that, you know, the different members and users coming to this site and to the Facebook page have been, you know, promoting each other, helping each other out, and staying positive. I think that it really centers around the message, and it centers around the goodwill of people and their willingness to help.
Have you had any trolls yet?
I actually haven't.
Not to give anybody any ideas, yeah, but almost inevitably it's going to happen.
Absolutely. And Ann, just to give you like a very quick background about what I do at Highland Software, I manage the innovation program, and without going into too much detail, one of the things that we use at Highland is an internal site where all employees can post ideas, then thumb up or thumb down those ideas, and the best ideas float to the top. As the innovation manager, I incubate the best of those ideas till they can be sustainably managed by another structured part of the organization. And, you know, when you talk about trolls and positive and negative feedback, you know, I've had a lot of experience with that. With over 1,400 employees in several departments across the world, I've seen that those types of responses firsthand and dealt with them. And so I was looking – I expected a little bit of that from creating this movement, but it's been really, really positive so far.
And I opened up the segment referring to the political season. Have there been any political references or people saying, gee, I wish politicians would, you know, do this or that or follow, you know, come through with some of their promises?
Yeah, I'm actually very glad that you mentioned that, because that's a little project that I'm currently working on. I'm creating little boxes that I'm sending to all the candidates for Senate, both on the Republican and Democrat side, along with Mr. Romney and President Obama. I'm going to send them 25 cards with a letter inside, just saying, you know, as you're on the campaign trail, think about the promises that you're making, the commitments that you're making to your constituency, and think about what that means to them, because people are counting on you. And regardless if I believe in your ideology or not, I think it's I think we can all agree that people are counting on those promises, and it's something that's particularly important during an election year, and I'm hoping that that can help some of those candidates self-reflect and you know, keep good on their promises.
I'm talking with Alex Sheen once again, creator of the website Because I Said I Would. You can go to becauseisaidiwould.com and see the website for yourself, hear and watch his eulogy for his father who died September 4th. If you have a question or comment, you have about 6 minutes, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Maybe there's a promise you want to keep and you think this could help. Maybe this is a good time to share it. Again, 614-292-8513. It's kind of an odd, doesn't feel super techy talking to you, Alex, but I suppose as a software, you know, if you're in a software company, I mean, you kind of fall into the right category. So it's a labor of love. You said you've taken it to this next step with the politicians. Where do you take it from here, from there, you know, post-election? Is this something that, in your opinion, has legs or what?
Sure. I think from the positive responses I've gotten so far and those personal messages and all the inspiration that I've been receiving, I'm hoping, you know, this can move into a national movement, and certainly those are my aspirations and what I'll be working towards. But to be honest, regardless if this is successful or not, until I pass away, it's going to be something I'm committed to. It's in the memory of my father, who I miss dearly, and I'm not going to give up on that.
In your eulogy to your father, you said, as I mentioned earlier, that he wasn't anything pressworthy, yet here you are. I can't imagine I'm the first radio interview. Maybe I am, but
you are. Actually.
I am. Okay. Well, I'm sure there'll be more. But here you are. You're making news for keeping promises. What do you think your dad would think about this?
I think he would be proud. It's something that I reflected on, thought about what he would think of me and my actions. And you know, my dad is an Asian immigrant father, right? He's kind of classic in that way, in that he had high expectations for me and my brother Greg. And you know, when we said we were going to do something, it was important to him and important to our character that we would do that. And so, I think that this message is something he drive He drove home with me and my brother, and you know, he would always say the only thing in this world you could control is yourself. And I think that means something when you talk about your promises, your commitments, and what you do and don't do. So I'm only hoping that, you know, if he can hear me, that he would be proud.
Tracy in Cleveland, you're on the air with Alex Sheen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. My name is Tracy Bush. I'd like to comment on the fact, Alex Sheen, I know the feeling that he had. My mom had passed away, and I made her a promise also before she passed away. And I was able to fulfill it to a certain degree, and I'm still trying to fulfill it. So I understand what he's doing, and I like to hear more about what he's doing. And if I could be of any assistance, I would love to. He can reach me at 216-618-7104.
Tracy, you can give that to our screener, okay?
Okay.
And we'll make sure that Alex gets it. It's just not wise to just give your phone number out on there on radio like that. But Tracy, let me ask you this. What was the promise, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, I told her I was going to put together, build a house of God. I was going to open up a church, a youth center, and I was blessed enough to be able to do that.
That sounds great, Tracy, and thank you so much for your offer for support. I'll get your number, as Ann said, and I'd be more than happy to contact you.
So, Tracy, stay on the line so our screener can get back with you right away as soon as we're off.
Thanks.
and get your phone number. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you.
Say one more question, Alex, before I let you go. You know, did anybody you know respond to this in a way that surprised you?
I think when I think about my friends, my family, and those who knew my father, I think the responses from the people he knew were surprising to me. His obituary is was featured in the Columbus Dispatch, and they have an online form that you can post things. And just at a personal level, there's 7 pages of comments that they made about my father. And to be honest, I haven't gone through all of them yet. I need to put some time aside to do that as kind of a personal reflection. But the positive comments that I've received about my dad is actually the biggest motivation for why I want to, you know, push this forward and do the best I can with it. It was very inspiring to hear things that I never knew about my father. Not only in the conversations at his funeral, but also, you know, through that obituary.
Well, thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Sure. Thank you so much, Ann.
That's Alex Sheen. His father, Al Wayman Sheen, died on September 4th. And in his memory, Alex started a website. It's called Because I Said I Would. We'll have a link to that if you want to check it out at WOSU.org/allsides. Coming up, tech blogger Russell Holly. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is Neil Conan from Talk of the Nation and NPR News. Ohio's a very important swing state in the 2012 presidential election.
As always.
So important, in fact, that Ken Rudin and I will visit WOSU to host the Political Junkie Roadshow. Join us Wednesday, October 10th at 7 p.m. on the Ohio State campus for an evening of politics, punditry, and, of course,
trivia questions, and don't forget, T-shirts.
And a few bad jokes. Visit WOSU.org/politicaljunkie to register for this free event.
Bad jokes?
This is 89.7 NPR News, and in 20 minutes at noon, Fresh Air begins. And on the next Fresh Air, Paul Thomas Anderson talks about writing and directing his new film, The Master, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman as the leader of a cult in the 1950s. Join us for that discussion on Fresh Air at noon on 89.7 NPR News. 66 degrees, warming up to a high of 76 today. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon. More rain for tonight, a low of 59. And partly sunny on Wednesday, a high of 72. Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, providing a disciplined approach to help individuals and small businesses grow and maintain their wealth. More information is available online at themontgomerysolution.com. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Take three ordinary ideas or things, the business card, a campfire, and the music on your iPad or your iPod or whatever. Now, let's inject some more technology to that music and to the campfire and the business card. Joining us now to help us is our regular Tech Tuesday contributor, tech blogger Russell Holly of Geek.com. Welcome to the show, Russell.
Thanks for having me back.
So I think we have some serious contenders here for excellent holiday gifts for the coming season today. So for those early shoppers, get out your list that you're keeping, because I think these are some great ideas, Russell, and I expect you to come up with many more between now and Christmas.
First, I'm sure I won't have trouble with that.
First, it was only a matter of time before business cards became high tech, and that time has come. We've talked about NFC, near field communication, before. Refresh our memory about that and tell us about the business card option.
The idea behind near field communication is it's a small piece of technology that can have information stored on it for a pretty much unlimited amount of time, and it doesn't have to be accessed until you take something that can read that information and pass it over it. So essentially, you can take a piece of paper and embed this wire, you know, near field communication technology into it. And when someone takes a phone that has access, you know, to that technology and waves it over that piece of paper, the information that is stored on that piece of paper gets transferred to the phone.
So, all right, when we're talking about the business card, so I have a business card made. And there's going to be a wire in there that has more information than is available on the card, and they could just scan it and have it in their phone.
Correct. The real advantage that you have here, and it was pretty clever the way that the guys at Moo.com put this, was that it basically gives your business card a third side. You've got the front, the back, and now this middle side that you can store anything on. If your company focuses on having an active social network, you can include links to your Facebook page or your Twitter handle. You can include a link to a place that someone can download your resume. If you're looking for a job, there's really no actual limit to the kind of information that you can store on here. You can even include links to places like YouTube or if you're a musician, links to your music on the iTunes store. There's just any of this information can be stored. You can choose to write that information to the business card. And then when you hand it to someone, they get the normal information from a business card. But if they take that business card and tap it to their phone, they now gain this additional information.
And where does it go on your phone? Is it an app? And how does it work?
So near field communication, especially on Android, is tied into the entire system. So if you have a Facebook app on your phone and someone has put Facebook information in the NFC card, when you tap the card to your phone, the first thing the phone will do is ask you if you want to open the Facebook app. When you choose to open the Facebook app, it'll take you to that information.
Does it mean you're automatically friending someone?
No. It just takes you to the page where you'd have the option to do so.
Okay. And the same thing with Twitter then?
Oh, yeah. The same thing with any, if you have, you know, links to you know, Amazon or, you know, iTunes or any of that information, it would all be available there. And, you know, it just takes you to the place where you can then, you know, choose to act on it. So if it just includes their phone number and email address, then when you scan it over, it will show you the phone number and email address, and you can then choose to save that information.
My guest is tech blogger for Geek.com, Russell Holly. We're talking about business cards that can become high-tech using NFC, near-field communication. Give us a call, 614-292-8513. If you have a question or comment for Russell Holly, you can ask him just about anything. Email is allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to Twitter at @WOSUAllSides, or you can go to our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. So have you used this? Are you going to get these business cards, Russell?
I've actually had business cards that have run near-field communication in the past. There are stickers that you can get that have near-field communication technology embedded in them that I stuck to a bunch of business cards at one point to kind of make my own. And I order from Moo.com all the time. I'm a big fan of their business cards. So I will definitely be taking advantage of this very soon. But okay. Right now, the promotion that they have is the first, I think, 12,000 people to order any kind of business card will get one of these near field business cards for free as a part of their order.
And ultimately, all you need is one.
If you have the one, you can pass it. You can pass it to someone, and they can pass it back. Or, you know, I assume that you know, as we get closer to the Christmas season, they will offer the ability for you to buy a pack of just the near field business cards. I think right now it's just kind of an exploratory thing for them.
Is it expensive?
Near field stickers are not particularly expensive. Usually, you can get 100 of them for about $3 or $4. If you're ordering them from the right places, and it varies really on how big the stickers are and how much information you want to store on them, but it's a very much a kind of a do-it-yourself exploration system right now, whereas the guys at Moo are trying to make this a little more mainstream.
So who puts the information on the sticker?
You can ask that the information be preloaded at a lot of places, or you can do it using your phone. You can write information to the card using your phone.
Okay. Interesting idea. Monster iMotion 3000. I love this. These are for all
the
people.
This was a lot of fun to play with.
Yeah, I bet you're having fun to play with. All you need is something with music on it. Your iPhone.
This works specifically with the iPhone and the iPod Touch.
Okay. Tell us how it
basically
works.
Basically, you plug in your iPhone, your iPod Touch to the connector, and it connects to your stereo, or if you just want to listen to music coming straight off of your iPod or iPod Touch or iPhone, they have a sensor that plugs into the cigarette lighter. This is designed specifically for use in the car. And instead of looking down at your phone when you want to change tracks on something that you're listening to, or if you want to skip or pause or answer the phone, you know, normally you would reach down and grab your phone and do this. And obviously when you're driving, this is not the safest of ideas. What the Monster iMotion allows you to do is wave your hand over a sensor that's plugged into the cigarette lighter and actually control your phone or control your iPod using just by waving your hand. You wave your hand over the sensor, it lights up once, and it can tell if you're swiping from left to right or from right to left. And each one of these gestures controls a different action on the phone or tablet.
So it's charging your phone or tablet while while it's giving you this option too.
Yes. You can charge your phone. You can listen to music at the same time, and you gain control over either changing tracks or answering the phone.
Okay, so in my new car, the charger's actually in the console. Inside, you have to be able to have visible, your hand has to be able to go right in front of it, right?
You definitely need to have visibility. It's unfortunately not a perfect solution. It's not for every car, mm-hmm. and a lot of cars are starting to, put the power adapters in kind of funky places.
Right.
So it's got some limited use depending on what vehicle you have, but if you still have a vehicle where the power outlet is, open face accessible, then this is a really cool option for being able to control your phone without ever taking your eyes off of the road.
Did it take any time to get used to it?
I definitely reached down and grabbed the phone a couple of times as I was using it. It took me a day or two to really fully adjust, and it wasn't so much changing tracks. I mean, that was something that I adjusted to pretty quickly, but answering the phone, you swipe left or right if you want to change tracks, but you can also swipe up or down if you want to either pause a track that you're listening to, or if you want to answer and hang up a phone call. And that was a new experience for me.
What if you already have Bluetooth in your car? How does it work with that?
This connects to the phone jack on the iPhone.
Okay.
So if you're running Bluetooth, you would still be using the Bluetooth controls that are set up in the car to do this. This is a little more manual setup.
Okay, but would it automatically go off when the phone starts ringing then?
Yeah, it would work the same way.
Okay. So it's $70. It's not super expensive, I guess.
It's definitely a luxury thing, but it's a cool thing for people who listen to the music in their car a lot, or for people who are constantly driving and using their phone as part of the service. Anytime they're in a car, I use a lot of music streaming applications, things like Pandora or something like that. And the cool thing about those is that I listen to a lot of music that I've never heard before, but I also listen to a lot of music that I don't like that I've never heard before. So I find myself skipping tracks pretty frequently. And this made it, you know, this removed any time that I would spend not looking at the road.
So this works with something like Pandora, too.
Well, the cool thing about the iPhone is that all the music services use the same control system.
Uh-huh.
So anything that plays music on the iPhone is going to be controlled the same way.
Can you skip past the ads?
You can only skip past the ads if you pay for the service.
Okay. I knew there was a hitch there. And it does require, it's for the iPod, iPhone.
This works with just about every Apple device.
Okay.
It requires an adapter to work with the new iPhone, the iPhone 5.
But everything does.
Right.
Yeah, same thing with the new iPhone 5. 614-292-8513. If you have a question or comment for my guest, Russell Holly, tech blogger for geek.com. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to our Facebook page or tweet us at WOSU All Sides. All right, this other thing that you wanted to talk about, the BioLite camp stove, is so cool. I can't stand it. So first of all, it's a stove that you can bring camping with you.
It's a small camp stove. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a small contained camp stove, so you can have a small fire without having to dig a fire pit or anything like that.
And it'll heat things up. I mean, you can boil water on it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. The stove is designed so you can put dishes on top of it. It's nice and sturdy to allow any kind of heat from pretty much all sides. So if you wanted to connect the little roasting sticks to the outside to cook marshmallows or something like that. It's designed to do a lot of the kind of, basic fun camping stuff and still be pretty safe.
Right. It's cool. It doesn't require a fuel for one thing.
Right.
But what's very cool about it is you can make it a charger. You can charge your phone with it.
It has a canister on the side of it that it takes up probably a quarter of the overall space, where heat radiates from the stove, and it takes the heat from it takes the heat from the stove and absorbs it into a fuel cell that it charges, just a battery, and it just keeps it charging. And there's a USB port on the side. Anything that you can plug the USB port, plug into the USB port, it will charge. So the big thing that they advertise is that you can charge your cell phone with this, but really anything, if you have you have any emergency device that you can plug in via USB, you'd be able to do that as well.
Have you used it?
I have, and it took me a while to adjust to the fact. I camp a lot, and one of the cool things about camping, for someone who plays with electronics all day long, is that I get to leave all this stuff at home.
Yeah,
and nobody
right.
can bother me.
Right.
So when someone called me and said, hey, we made a stove that you could plug your phone into, I kind of said, why are you doing this to me?
Right.
Why are you taking away my freedom? But it charges. It's not going to charge as fast as something plugged into the wall. It charges. It's really kind of a trickle charger, so you're not going to be sitting next to the stove plugged in playing Angry Birds or watching a movie or anything. But it's just enough that if you have your phone off and you have it plugged in an emergency situation, you can turn your phone on and make calls and know that when you turn that phone on, your phone will be fully charged.
And you can do this while you're boiling the water or cooking a meal.
You have to do it while you're boiling. You have to, because the heat is what recharges the battery while you're using it. So it has an internal battery that is enough to charge a phone completely from dead. But that battery inside the camp stove is recharged by the heat that is generated from the cook stove.
Now, how hot, it's just a little stove. It's a little cylinder like thing. How many sticks and pine cones do you have to stuff in there? And how long do you have to keep stuffing it with fuel? I mean, it has to burn something.
So the canister itself that you can keep the fire in is just about the same size as a 2-liter bottle.
Okay.
In terms of how wide it is, and you can fit quite a bit in there, but you have to pay attention to what it is you're putting in there and keeping the fire at a reasonable temperature. Obviously, if you have a you know, a raging inferno in there that you've used with, you know, lighter fluid and things like that, you're gonna damage not just the casing to the fire pit, but also the thing that charges the battery. But if you keep a reasonably sized fire in there, which is to say that the fire itself doesn't go more than twice as high as the camp stove is tall, then it'll charge that battery within 4 or 5 hours.
You know, this is a great idea just to have on hand for emergency power outages. A lot of people in this area have those.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, any situation, because it's really small. It doesn't weigh more than, I would say, 5 or 6 pounds. It's really portable. So any situation where you would find yourself without power, you know, you could take this outside and you know, make sure that you have, you know, just enough battery for an emergency situation.
And it's eco-friendly. It doesn't burn gas or propane or anything like that.
Right. You specifically put, you know, sticks and you know, pine cones and things like that in there to keep the fire going.
And how much does it cost?
There are a couple of different models. They start at about $160. It depends on how big the battery is that you want inside it. And I was told that they're making a larger model for being able to have a larger fire at some point, and that's going to be a separate price. But these are all supposed to be available within the next month.
And when you talk about a larger fire, are you talking about like the backyard fire type of thing? Or
no, I think it's probably going to be about twice the size of the canister that's on there now.
Okay. Well, I hope that you don't start bringing your stuff with you camping and ruin that experience.
I'm fairly
completely
certain my wife would make sure that never happens.
Anything else? We have about an extra minute. Anything else you wanted to bring up?
Anybody who's using anybody who has an Xbox console in their house, their children are using the Xbox or the Xbox as part of the entertainment center. Microsoft has actually set up a deal where you can use the Xbox to stream the political debates that are going to start tomorrow.
We talked about that in our first segment.
Well, I missed that. I'm sorry.
You weren't listening. Yeah, we talked to Ryan Luckin, the senior PR manager for Xbox. So we're all about that, and we're hopefully going to I'll be interested to see if you – are you going to do it?
I am definitely going to have it running on that just to see what the quality is and how it compares to a couple of other things. I found that a lot of things recently – Microsoft has done a lot of really cool things with streaming content recently. And the most powerful thing that I found about the way Microsoft is handling things is that their service is usually much higher quality than you find on things like YouTube or even from sources like CNN. You know, the video streams have not been as high a quality as what has been found on the Xbox.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm checking that out on a debate night. We'll be doing a preview coming up this week, but we'll also be doing a follow-up. So I'm interested to see what people think about that. Russell Holly, thanks for joining us today.
I will see you next week.
All righty. And by the way, if you want to listen back to that first segment, you can just go to our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We post podcasts. You can get it by podcast. You could just go into our archives. Our archive includes audio, video, and podcasts of every show. That's at WOSU.org/allsides. Thanks a lot for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News. Your all-day NPR News station, a service of WOSU Public Media.